We are going to talk this morning, about a very important person, probably the most important person on the face of this earth. And that person is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. The importance of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to wait a few minutes because for the praise and worship team to find their seats and to get into their word. I don't want anybody to miss any of this. You know, some Christians believe that the Holy Spirit just came on the scene at Pentecost. That's really where he made his debut. Not true at all. Not true at all. The Holy Spirit just didn't show up. He doesn't just show up in seasons and things. But the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead, the Trinity. He is vital. He is powerful. He is the Spirit of the living God. If you want to know what the Holy Spirit looks like, look at Jesus. If you want to see what the Father looks like, look at Jesus. Jesus is the image. And the Trinity, the Godhead, they operate as one, although they are distinctly three different persons with three separate functions. You know, the Father, Father God is the decision maker. He makes all the decisions. We will make man in my image. He created the world. He made all of the decisions, and rightly so. He's the big boss. Jesus is the administrator of heaven. He's the doer. He's the one that brings these things to pass, Jesus. But the Holy Ghost is the power of the Trinity. He's the one that manifests these things. He's the breath of God, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God. That's who the Holy Ghost is. And he's so, so important. And a lot of us go through our Christian life and the emphasis is on Jesus, which it should be. Don't get me wrong. The emphasis should be on Jesus. But to neglect the Holy Ghost. Catherine Kuhlman made a statement. She said that the greatest sin against the Holy Ghost is to ignore him. To ignore him. To act like we don't need you. You're not wanted. He's not wanted in a lot of places, you know. He's not. He's ignored. In fact, when you start talking about him, some people get offended. Why would you get offended about talking about the precious third person of the Holy Ghost, the Godhead, the Trinity? And yet, he's the dunamis power of the Trinity. He's the one that infills us with power. And so he is so, so important. So, so important. He was moving back when the earth was created. Remember how it says that he brooded over, hovered over the waters. That was the Holy Ghost. He wasn't sleeping somewhere hibernating. And then when Pentecost came, and then he came like a mighty rushing wind, yes, that happened. But yet he wasn't somewhere waiting for his cue, for his debut. He was moving alongside the Father, Son all this time, from the very beginning, from the foundations of the world. So we're going to talk about the importance of the Holy Spirit. He's a person. And because he's a person, that means he has an intellect, he has a will, he has emotions. Oh, he has emotions? Yes. Why do you think that he can be grieved? He can be grieved when he's ignored. When he's not wanted, he's grieved. Oh, but he's so powerful. So powerful. the whole, if you were to sum it up about the Holy Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit? One definition you can say is this: the Holy Spirit is Jesus unlimited. He's Jesus without any limits. What does that mean? Unlimited, no bars hold, whatever. He can do anything, move anything, do anything. He's powerful. He's the third person of the Godhead. He's Jesus unlimited here on the earth, but also Jesus unlimited in the now. Yes. Jesus unlimited in Jaime and Berna. Jesus unlimited in Greg and Kalia. Unlimited. Well, who limits him? We do. We do. We limit him by our thinking, by our unrenewed minds, by thoughts, by the enemy, all these things. But he's waiting on the inside. Just unleash me. Just release me. I'm unlimited and I want to do great things, for greater things shall you do. Greater things shall you do, Jesus said. In John 14, 16, and all of you know this, John 14, 16, 17 says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener. I love that one. Standby, spirit of truth, and a revealer. What does he reveal? Jesus. He reveals Jesus. When he says, I shall give you a comforter, the Greek translation says this, an exact copy. An exact copy. He's the same I am, the great I am. You can say in heaven, Father, I am. Jesus, I am. Holy Ghost, I am. He's the exact copy of Jesus. So if you see Jesus, you see the Holy Ghost. He's the Spirit of the Lord. You're a spirit. You are. You're a spirit. You're a tripart being as well. God gave that as an illustration. We are spirits first. You're not a body. You live in a body, but you're not a body. You're a spirit. You're not a soul. You're not walking around a soul. You have a soul. So you're a spirit that lives in a body and has a soul, a tripart being. Well, Father God is a spirit. He's a spirit as well. And then it says, I shall give you a comforter. Verse 17 says, the world cannot receive him, welcome him, because it does not see him or know him or recognize him. But it says, but you know him. You know him. You know the Holy Ghost. How do you know him? He's on the inside of you. He's dwelling in you. And he has precious gifts also that he brings to the body of Christ, the church, not the world. Because we just read, the world cannot receive him. Why? Well, the world is out there. They're unsaved. They're unbelieving. They'll mock. They'll try to understand with their carnal minds. You can't understand the things of the Spirit with a carnal mind. You can't. You can't. You'll doubt. You'll scoff. You'll mock it. You'll say, I don't believe that. You can't discern the spiritual things of the Spirit without having him living in you, without having Jesus Lord on the inside of you. Just, you can't. But we know him. We know him. You cannot separate or dismiss the Holy Spirit from the Godhead. You can't separate him. Some denominations place emphasis on the Father, Jehovah. Some place all their emphasis on Jesus, the Word, and that's fine too. But what about the Holy Ghost? What about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God? Jesus said, it's expedient, important. I can't stress enough that I go away, but I'll send him. I'll send one, the Comforter, who is an exact copy of me. Exact copy. Not an inkling off. Exact copy of Jesus. He sent that. So that's who we have here with us. We don't ignore him here. I don't ignore him. I don't want to ignore him. We won't ignore him. He has first place here in this church, and he should have first place in all your lives. Don't ignore him when he speaks to you, when he tries to reveal, speak to you. Don't ignore that, because he's easily grieved. Oh, the Holy Spirit, you can't dismiss or separate him. It would be just like you try to separate your soul from your body or your mind, will, emotion. You're all one being. You're all one package deal. You can't separate the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a marvelous mystery. But yet they're all three distinct persons that have each individually their function. And their functions are marvelous. They are marvelous. It's the Spirit of the Lord, the same I am. The Holy Ghost is the power of the Trinity. No Holy Ghost, no power. No Holy Ghost, no miracles. No Holy Ghost, none of the manifestations of the Spirit that you'll see. No healings, none of these things. Who do you think brings this about? They don't just drop out of heaven. The Holy Ghost manifests them. Healings and miracles. It's the Holy Ghost. Say that. It's the Holy Ghost. Yeah, it's him. It's him that's doing this. And he wants to do so much, so much more. So much more. The more you know him, the more you're going to know Jesus. The more you know the Holy Ghost, the more you'll know Jesus. Why? Because he's the revealer. He's the revealer of who Jesus is. All the different facets. You know, the disciples, when they were on the earth, they witnessed incredible things because they walked with Jesus. They seen him preach. They seen him do miracles. They seen him heal, cleanse the lepers, make the lame walk, open blind eyes. They seen him do all of these extraordinary things. They listened to his messages. They walked with Jesus, and they seen him do all of these things. But yet, when the time came, when Peter walked on water, Peter tells Jesus, Lord, I'll die for you. Well, but yet he denied Jesus three times. Why? Why was that? No power, no Holy Ghost then yet at that time. There was no Holy Ghost. The disciples witnessed a lot. Judas was with Jesus a lot, supped with him, seen the miracles, heard him preach, seen awesome, incredible things. Yet he betrayed him. Why? No Holy Ghost. No Holy Ghost yet. To reveal who Jesus is and who Jesus was. Peter, James, and John saw Jesus transfigured. They were on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. They seen Jesus' face turn white, as bright as the sun, whiter than white, the Bible says. They seen Jesus' clothes turn white as a robe, transfigured. They seen that. And they also seen Elijah and Moses come down. They seen Jesus conversing with them. They're sitting there in awe, listening and watching all of this. And then a cloud comes down upon, and then a voice comes out of the cloud. Father God speaks and says, this is my beloved Son. They hear and see all of that. Yet a couple weeks later, they question whether he was even the Messiah. We're not even sure. Jesus, and he tells the disciples and the apostles, in order to have eternal life, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. Whoa. He lost a lot of them when he said that. They was like, what does he mean by that? Eat my flesh and drink my blood. The Bible says that he lost a good company of others. They walked away and went back to their old associations. Couldn't discern that. Yes, they got offended. They got offended when they heard that. Drink his blood and eat his flesh? Why? Why? Did they not know who was in the midst of them? Did they not know that this was the Son of God? No Holy Ghost. No Holy Ghost to reveal to them any of this. Yet they seen these things over and over and over. They had the will to do these things, to follow the Master. Lord, we'll die for you. We'll do great things. We'll follow you to the ends of the earth. And yet, when Jesus was crucified, when he went to the cross, where were they? Where was the disciples? Only John showed up. Mary. Where were the others? Making all these promises, we love you, Lord, we'll follow you to the end. And yet Jesus is crucified. They questioned and they thought in their minds, they says, but we thought he was the Messiah. So you can almost hear a tinge of doubt in there. We thought. They witnessed all these great things, all these marvelous things. And if that wasn't enough, this is staggering. Jesus dies on the cross. He's resurrected. He's raised from the dead. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, they go to the tomb. And yet they go back to the disciples and tell them, we've seen the Master. The Master's risen. Read what the Bible says. They scoffed. They doubted. They even ridiculed. Can't be. What are you talking about? They doubted his own resurrection. They doubted his own resurrection. Why? No Holy Spirit. Not Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit wasn't given yet. Jesus hadn't ascended yet. He hadn't given the Holy Spirit yet. You know, when the disciples in the boat, when they seen Jesus walk on the water, that was might. That was might. When Jesus cleansed the lepers, when he healed the sick, all of the miracles, and there's so many other miracles that aren't even recorded, there just wasn't room enough. When he opened up when he made that the mud, spit in the mud and put it on the blind man's eyes, and the can see, that was might. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, that was power. Lazarus, come forth. That was power. But yet there's a scripture that says in Zechariah 4:6, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Message translation says, you can't force these things. They only come about through my spirit. All of these miraculous things were wrought by the Holy Spirit. They were all brought about him. Without the Holy Spirit, yes, you can be a Christian. You're saved, you're going to heaven, but guess what? You're going to live a defeated, a powerless life down here without the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Spirit. We need him. He is that power that will help us not just help us, but give us the victory in these struggles with these strongholds, not just personally too. Help you witness. Help you when you read the word, discern, understand what you're reading. When you open the Bible, ask the Holy Spirit every time you read the Bible, Holy Spirit, help me understand this. Give me wisdom. I want to go deeper into the word of God. Help me, Holy. It's the Holy Spirit that'll do that. Read his description in John, and he's so much more than that. So much more than what we read. So much more. So then how can you talk about the Father and the Son and leave out the Holy Spirit? How can you? How can you? He's so, so, so important. I want to give you some meat now, and I want you to hear. I want you to listen, not with carnal mind, but I want you to listen. Throw out a little bit of filet mignon to you this morning. Is that all right? Sure. You're able. You're ready for it. In eternity past, before Father God created anything, the earth, time, angels, heaven, before anything was created, Father God had a conference or a boardroom, a meeting in heaven. He called a meeting. And who was there? Oh, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They were there before anything else. The whole earth was void. Earth wasn't even created. Nothing. And the word says that God made a covenant with himself. By myself have I sworn, said the Father God, right? Because there is none higher than him. He says, I have sworn by myself. So in this meeting was the Father. And in that conference, Jesus was crucified. You may say, what do you mean Jesus was crucified? Jesus was crucified. Doesn't it say in 1 Peter 1:20 that Jesus was crucified before the very foundations of the earth? He was crucified first in the heart of the Father. Jesus was crucified. If you try to figure that out with your mind, you won't. You won't be able to, so don't even try. That's why at that time, in that meeting, when Jesus was crucified, that's why Father God can look at all of the blood sacrifices of animals in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, and he can look at all that and not see the blood of animals, but see Jesus' shed blood, because he was already crucified. Because isn't it true that when the Father speaks, when God said, light be, light was, God already spoke it. He speaks things. And so when God spoke, Jesus has been crucified before the very foundations of the world. It took place in the heart of the Father. Some of you are looking alike, But anyways, don't try and figure that out, though, with your carnal mind. In that meeting also, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the Father also predestined who would be saved. Some call it predestination. Scripture for that? I do. Thanks for asking. And it says in Ephesians 1:4 that he chose us in Christ before the very foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless in his sight. That Jesus, at that time, back then, you were predestined, you were saved. Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Phyllis, your name was written in there. And a lot of the church today think God's sitting up in heaven on a big chair, his throne, and he has a great big pencil, and he has a great big book. And every time somebody gets saved, you know, the angels are celebrating which they are, and then Father's writing their name down. No, Their name's already been written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the very foundations of the world. So when we give an altar call, when people are saved, when they come down to the front, their names have already been in the book. That's why they're coming. That's why they're being saved. So all of these names, isn't that marvelous? Isn't that wonderful? Before the foundation in this meeting, Father sitting there, and Jesus and the Holy Ghost, and they're writing, Reuben and Cheryl Cano and the whole Cano family, the Haupu family, Anel's family, and the Ibanez family, and the Santiago's, and Phyllis's family, and on and on and on and on. For every generation. Why? Because the Father God, He's the speaker. When He speaks, it happens just like that. Read Genesis. God said, God said, God said, God said, God said. Did it take a while for it to happen? No, immediately. God spoke it and it happened. So when God spoke it in His heart, Jesus was already crucified. It was settled. It was done before anything was created on this earth. Anything. That is, whew, boy, you know, that is wonderful. Wonderful. So the Father is the one. He's the orchestrator. He speaks. Jesus is the administrator, and the Holy Spirit manifests and brings these things to pass. He's the power. He's the powerhouse. Jesus could do no great things without the power of the Holy Ghost. He couldn't. He couldn't. We'll talk a little bit about that later. So to know that you were chosen before the very foundations of this earth, that ought to give you something to shout about. You were chosen. You just didn't stumble and happen to, you know, find Jesus. Before these foundations were formed, before when the earth was void, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it won't be all of the names of the people to be saved. Father knew this in His great infinite wisdom. He knew this. How wonderful is that? Our pea brains, you know, I can't even conceive that. Some of the things, the vastness, the awesomeness of God. Oh my, just think about eternity. Us humans are always used to an ending, the end of something. We're going to live forever and ever on. That's mind-boggling when you think about it. But our Father lives in eternity. He lives in eternity. He don't live in time. He doesn't live by the time clock, and certainly not our time clock. He's God, and He's God all by Himself. Yeah. So in this meeting, Jesus, Father and them are talking, and He said, in order for this plan to happen, Jesus, you're going to have to go to the earth and become flesh. And Jesus says, all right, Father, I'll do that. But in order for me to carry out this assignment, I'm going to need the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost says, we'll go together. We'll go together. And listen to this. I'm going to make sure. When Jesus agreed to become flesh, it was the Holy Spirit's power that came upon Jesus, reduced Him to a seed in order for Mary to conceive. The Holy Spirit did that. Do you understand now how important He is? Not just back then, now, and forever. The power of the Holy Ghost reduced Jesus to a seed. Place Him in Mary's body. Read it in Luke. What does it say in Luke 1:35? It says that the Word Himself, Jesus, became flesh. Well, we just think, oh yeah, He became flesh. How did He do that? He didn't just drop out of heaven. He wasn't like Adam, that when Adam, think of Adam. Adam was born a full man. He was a full-grown man. When Jesus breathed into His nostrils, Jesus wasn't. Jesus came as a seed. He came in as a seed in Mary's body. Little baby, went through all the stages that Abigail and all our, you know, beautiful children go through. 9 months, Jesus was born right on schedule, right on schedule. Not a beat, not a miss anything. But the Holy Spirit reduced him to a seed. And he hovered over, and it says, and the angel Gabriel spoke to Mary and says, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, hover over you. Sounds like the Holy Ghost to me. Just like when the Holy Ghost was hovering over the waters, when God started creating the heavens and the earth, the Holy Ghost breathed on Mary and breathed. Mary was a sinner, by the way, because Mary even confessed that she needs a Savior. I'm a sinner. And she even said, Jesus, her own son, is the Savior. She needed to be saved. But Jesus' blood was pure. It was miraculous how God kept Jesus' blood pure, sinless, and perfect. The only one. The only one. Not like Adam. You know, when Adam was born, he was born a full-grown man. Did you ever think where Adam's blood came from? He didn't have a mama. Adam didn't have a daddy. Do you have a blood transfusion from somewhere? Or, you know, where did Adam's blood come from? Came from heaven directly. And the Holy Ghost, it said, breathed into Adam. The Father's nostrils breathed into Adam. And the breath of life, the Holy Ghost, went into Adam. And the blood flowed. And so when Mary conceived, I heard this one time that Jesus is the child of the Holy Ghost. Now, I know what they mean when they say that. We know that Mary was the mother and she conceived Jesus. But it was the Holy Ghost who breathed that power, reduced Jesus to that precious, precious seed that inside Mary's womb. And then he became and he grew. He grew to be a man. Yeah. And Jesus became flesh, became a seed in Mary's body. Gabriel said, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. This pure, sinless offspring shall be born. Wow. If the Holy Spirit can do this with Jesus, if the Holy Spirit can do that with Jesus' life, just think what he can do with your life. Just think what he can do with my life. Just think what he can do with us. Unlimited, unlimited. If he can do that with Jesus, he was the power behind it that made it happen. It was the Holy Ghost. You see how important he is. Do you see how we need him more than ever? Yeah. The perfect Word of God became a child, and his blood came straight from heaven. Because the breath of God, the Holy Spirit is known as the breath of God. God breathed into Jesus just like he did over Adam, and blood flowed. So you might want to write this down. This is really good. The blood is the result of breath. Where the breath is, there's the blood. That's why every time you speak and apply the blood of Jesus, the breath shows up. And who's the breath? The Holy Ghost. I'll say that again. The breath of God. God breathed and blood flowed. The blood is the result of breath. Where the breath is, there's the blood. That's why every time you speak and apply the blood of Jesus, The breath shows up, inseparable, the two, one, inseparable. And the breath is the Holy Ghost. That's why when you apply the blood of Jesus, you should always say it reverently, always. And the breath of God, the Holy Ghost, always shows up. He always accompanies it. That breath of life. Isn't that powerful? Yeah, isn't that? He's so wonderful. He's so wonderful. So Jesus grows up from a child into a man, and he's teaching and preaching the gospel, and comes to a point where Jesus, John the Baptist, is on the earth already, and Jesus comes to the River Jordan and is baptized, and he says to John, John, I want you to baptize me. And John, the Bible says, refused, argued with him and says, no, Lord, it is I that should be baptizing you. It is me. I am not worthy to even remove your sandals from your feet. It is me that should be baptized, not you, Lord. And just to fulfill the law of righteousness, Jesus explained to him, and Jesus insisted, and John goes, all right, okay, I'll baptize you. Jesus, by being baptized, because isn't water, we're talking about water baptism now, isn't water baptism for sinners? It is. It's for sinners. It's for, you know, sinners. When we baptized in the prison, we all got water baptized. It's for sinners. Jesus had no sin. So why was Jesus getting baptized? To identify with us, to identify with sinners. I mean, if all he's done wasn't enough. So he gets baptized to identify with yours and my sin. Identify with sinners. He takes on the form, he gives up his deity, his glory, he takes on the form in a seed of a man, a flesh, walks this earth, endures and goes through all that he does just to identify with man. And he takes on the sins of the world as well, takes on all of the sins of the world. And that's when Father God had to look away when he was hung on the cross. What a Savior. What a Savior. What a Savior. My goodness, Jesus. You've done so much for us. Done so much for us. And then at that moment, the heavens opened up and they parted. And the Holy Spirit came down, descended on Jesus, and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And Jesus became, and the anointing became on Jesus. And he went out and did miraculous, marvelous works. All because of whom? The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 says, "And you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and you will be his witnesses to the ends of the earth." You shall receive power. The same precious Holy Spirit who is with us today. He's powerful. And he wants to give us power. Pastor Herman said this morning, there's one baptism in the Holy Ghost, but yet many infillings, many, continually. Because we need fresh infillings of power. Because we all wear down. Just like, you know, you have to charge your cell phone, your car battery. We have to charge ourselves up too. Our spirits have to be charged up to the maximum. We call that overflow when you're charged to the maximum. So you operate, move, speak. You're doing that out of your overflow. And it's not a hard thing to do. Well, should I, shouldn't I? You're like, oh, I don't know. What if they reject me? Or no, you just go. You know, you just on fire. Overflow, the fire of God. Because of the Holy Ghost is enabling and helping you with this. In Ephesians 1:14 says, the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. The guarantee. He's the sealer of all the covenants made. Sealed. Sealed. You know, in the olden days when the kings and whatnot, emperors, they all had that signet ring. And when a letter forth or proclamation went out into the land, they stamped it. They handed it to the king, and he would go like this and put his signet, his seal on that letter. And everybody would say, "Ooh, we better listen to this. This is from the king." You know. Well, the Holy Spirit puts his seal on this covenant that has been sealed with the precious blood of Jesus. And he is, Ephesians 1:14 says, he's the guarantee of our inheritance. The down payment. He's the down payment of it on our heritage in anticipation of its full redemption and our acquiring complete possession of it. The praise of his glory. The praise of his glory. The praise of his glory. Lift your hands. Praise him. Thank him. Welcome him. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. We acknowledge, we see how much we need you. You are so welcome here in this church and each and every vessel here. Holy Spirit, fill us afresh and anew. Forgive us if we've ever grieved you, if we've ever ignored you, if we've ever considered you lesser than because of our carnal thinking, because of our unrenewed minds. Holy Spirit, we honor you, we thank you, we give you praise, we give you glory. The third person in the Godhead. Holy Spirit, have your way each and every time we gather here, bringing about the perfect will and plan of God. And if you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, this is a gift. It's a gift. Now, this is just me speaking. It's not in the Bible, but I consider the gift of the Holy Ghost not an option, but I consider it mandatory. In these days that we live, you need the power of God to help you in your Christian walk. You need the power of God to give you the ability to say no to temptation, no to devils, no to the assaults on your mind, no to these things. It's the Holy Ghost that will give you wisdom in order to discern. To discern, should I take the vaccine? Should I go? Who should I marry? Where should I go? Where should I go to church? All of these decisions in life that are huge. You need the Holy Ghost. He's not like, no thanks. I never was really big on the tongues thing. You better be. You better be. You need that power in your life. So if you've never received the Holy Ghost with the infilling of him, the dunamis power, come down to the front and we'll pray with you and you'll receive your heavenly language. It's never too late. I don't care if you're 98. I don't care if you're 9 years old. It's never. And there's nothing to be ashamed of. You better not be ashamed of him. You better not be ashamed of him. Because if you are, he'll be ashamed of you when you stand before him. And he'll say, I never knew you. If you can't make a declaration, you know, even with salvation in some churches and places, you know, just saying a mass prayer of salvation, half the time people or their mind is somewhere else. Oh, okay, I guess I'll say that prayer. I don't want to go to hell. And, you know, yeah, Jesus. No, you come down here to the front. Make it real. Stand before the altar. Stand before God and say, I'm a sinner. I confess my sins and I realize the need of a Savior. Jesus, I accept you. I take you. Come into my heart. And then after you're saved, he offers us the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. We have to be bold in these days, not be hiding your Christianity, your walk. Nobody should be timid and shy about that. Being bold. Satan and all his coverts and all his honies, they're bold in your face. How much more should we be? They don't have the power of the Holy Ghost. They have a limited demonic satanic power. And when Jesus returns in the cloud for his church, who do you think is the cloud? The Holy Ghost. When he descends from heaven, it's the Holy Ghost power that's going to bring Jesus back for the church. When the Antichrist is destroyed and Jesus returns, who do you think is going to destroy the Antichrist? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. He's that power. He's that power behind it all. So now if you need an infilling, if you need the baptism in the Holy Ghost, you should be running down here. You should be coming down to the front. Receive your gift, your heavenly language. I know there are some of you who don't have your gift, but it's a choice. And Jesus never forces salvation. He'll even honor your right to go to hell. God forbid. But it's a gift, and you need it. And you need it. If you need it. Come now and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's here. Fill you with his might and with his power and your language. It's his promise to us and to your children and all of those that are far off. That's what the scripture says. The infilling of the precious Holy Ghost. Well, I'm saved. Isn't that enough? No. No, it's not. You're sure you'll get to heaven. Don't misunderstand me. Your salvation is sealed, but you need, how you need the Holy Ghost, how you need it. He'll reveal to you more of Jesus. Don't be defeated in your walk what you're struggling with. Don't be ashamed of him, because he's not ashamed of us. He'll infill you mightily with the precious language. It says when they were all in the upper room, Acts 1:8, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. He came like a mighty rushing wind. He's not a wind, he's not a mist, but he manifests sometimes as such, these things. But he's a person.